catching you up on the latest stories from around the Sunshine State that you should know heading into this Thursday morning, March 30th. I'm Julia Cooper, and this is The Point from WUFT News. A new bill that's soon to hit the Senate floor is proposing sweeping punishments for undocumented migrants and anyone who hires or helps them. I spoke with the Human Rights Coalition of Alachua County's Community ID Program Director, Veronica Robledo, on how SB 1718 would affect their funding for resources.
So SB 1718 and its companion House bill are almost identical in that it is looking, well, in DeSantis's terms, he's looking to, quote, fight Biden's border crisis, unquote. But what it really is doing is criminalizing immigrants, and not only immigrants, but U.S. citizens that are choose to love or help or open their doors to immigrants in our state. So we see this as very dangerous to immigrants and immigrant families throughout the state. But what the different points in the bill, one, they are expanding the definition of human smuggling from previously what was transporting an individual into the state of Florida, whom that individual knew had entered or was entering in the process of entering unlawfully. But now with this proposed legislation, it's expanding that definition to someone who transports in or within the state of Florida any undocumented person that ever entered unlawfully. And it's saying that the person either knows or should have known that the individual has done so. It also refers to harboring or shielding from detection undocumented immigrants. And the danger in that part of the bill is how vague the languages. So this could affect churches that open their doors to undocumented immigrants, Uber drivers, bus drivers. We know undocumented children have the right to attend public school in our country. So this is really targeting anyone who kind of interacts with undocumented immigrants and makes it a third degree felony to, again, transport, conceal, or harbor undocumented people. Another very harmful part of the proposed bill is that it will require hospitals that receive Medicaid to record the immigration status of every individual at the intake process. So this is extremely harmful. People that either have no immigration status or may be in process of getting status already experience a lot of barriers and fear around accessing resources and healthcare. And this is just going to be even more of a barrier, and individuals realistically will probably not end up going to the hospital. It's also discussing invalidating driver's licenses from other states that people have obtained who are immigrants. And so this is, in our opinion, is an extreme overreach when you're talking about invalidating a driver's license from another state. They're also attacking business and the economy by increasing penalties for employing undocumented immigrants. So those are kind of the main most dangerous parts. There is also a provision that prohibits local governments from providing funding to ID programs, community ID programs. Currently, the model throughout Florida and the national model is that those ID programs are government funded and run by a nonprofit. So that will really create more barriers than already existed to individuals that have barriers to getting state ID. And let me just mention that that is not only immigrants. So we as a community ID program serve everyone and anyone who is in need of a photo ID, but that also includes people experiencing housing insecurity, transgender individuals, individuals re-entering society from incarceration, and seasonal elders as well.
One of my questions was going to get into the Human Rights Coalition of Alachua County's ID program and how this bill would specifically affect you. Do you have any more thoughts on that? Like, do you know how many people you currently serve that wouldn't have that resource anymore with this bill?
We're kind of looking at that right now because the funding that we receive currently from the city and the county, it's actually federal dollars through the American Rescue Plan Act. So we have some legal experts looking into whether or not the state can mandate the use of those funds because they're not actually local funds from local taxes. But yeah, just if the potential is there that we would lose funding. And we, in the last 6 months, have been able to do, well, more than 6 months at this point, with the help of the funding, have been able to do a lot of good work in the community. We have provided, since we started working with the county funding, we've provided almost 500 IDs to individuals in the last about 7 months. So that is, we are a small county compared to the other ID programs, but that really has had an impact for the individuals who have been able to get their IDs so that they can get their utility account turned on or, you know, positively identify themselves if they interact with law enforcement. It is going to greatly affect our program if we're not able to depend on those county funds or city funds as well.
Can you speak a little bit to the role of immigrant populations in Alachua County communities and the parts of the economy that they support?
So this was a demographic and economic study done by the New American Economy and Gateways for Growth, which were sponsors for the Gainesville Immigrant Neighbor Inclusion Initiative, or GINI, which is ongoing steering committee that's working in partnership with the city, county, school board, and others to make Gainesville and Alachua County a more tangibly welcoming place to immigrants. So out of the population of Gainesville, and this I believe was from census information from 2019, I believe, we have 11% of all spending power in the city, according to the Institute of Economic Taxation and Economic Policy. Immigrant households in Gainesville contributed more than $22 million in state and local taxes in 2019. In addition to that, 14,800 immigrants lived in Gainesville, Florida in 2019. So in 2019, immigrant households in Gainesville earned $317.7 million. $53 million went to federal taxes. $22.2 million went to state and local taxes. $241 million was left in spending power. So this means that foreign-born households held about 11.6% of the spending power. Despite making up 11.3% of the population, immigrants made up 16% of business owners in the city in 2019.
How do you feel about just how much is covered in this bill and how broad it seems to be?
Interestingly enough, the Republican Party often likes to pride themselves on how they are for individual state power and they are for small government and less government control over individuals. And this bill is doing the exact opposite of what they say that their values are. But the bill itself is so wide-reaching because, again, it criminalizes individuals who not only transport, but knowingly or that they should have known, which again, what legally does that mean, right? That an individual entered the country without legal status. And so if you think about it, this is now going to make a soccer mom who is giving kids a ride after a soccer game in the position of needing to check and find out individual children's immigration status. We're talking about bus drivers, We're talking about churches who often not only open their doors, but sponsor asylum seekers to help them in their resettlement process. So, you know, it's really focused on this idea of, you know, people that don't have documentation, but the truth of the matter is internationally, seeking asylum is a human right. But what people don't realize is part of that process, or during part of that process, you're going to be without status because it is completely accepted to approach a border and ask for asylum. But the person who does that still has to wait to be processed, still has to wait for their case to be decided on. And that can take up to 5+ years. Meanwhile, that person is technically undocumented. So this narrative of immigrants as criminals is just false. This is going to do nothing for fighting crime. All it's going to do is harm communities, harm the idea of community safety.
Tell me about the Human Rights Coalition's plans to push back against this legislation.
So because of the harm that this bill will cause, we are working in collaboration with a statewide organization, the Florida Immigrant Coalition, to plan actions across the state opposing, showing not only our opposition to the bill, but also our support and solidarity with immigrant neighbors. So we have a plan for next Wednesday, April 5th at 5:30 p.m. on the corner of Southwest 13th Street and West University Avenue. And we're inviting anyone and everyone who supports immigrants, values immigrants, and opposes this legislation to come. We're also going to be providing an info session to get more into in depth about this anti-immigrant legislation, what impact it will have, and what individuals can do to get involved to work towards fighting the bill. And that's going to be the day prior to the action, which is April 4th, and it'll be at 6 p.m. via Zoom.
That was Veronica Robledo of the Human Rights Coalition of Alachua County on anti-immigration proposals. Now, let's catch you up on today's top stories from around the state. A ban on abortions after 6 weeks is ready for a full Senate vote. According to the News Service of Florida, SB 300 passed a Senate committee and will go before the floor on Thursday. The proposal comes with a major caveat, though. Several abortion clinics have filed constitutional challenges to last year's 15-week abortion limit, and this year's approval hinges on the Florida Supreme Court upholding the 15-week law. A Florida House panel approved a bill granting pregnant prisoners maternal rights. According to Florida Politics, HB 779 would allow people arrested and bonded out within 72 hours after arrest to be administered a pregnancy test, as well as compel judges to offer deferred sentencing of pregnant women until 12 weeks after a child is born, along with several other protections. The proposal, being dubbed Ava's Law, seems to be sparked by the death of Erica Thompson's daughter, Ava. Thompson delivered her child in the Alachua County Jail in August of 2021, and her baby died at the hospital several hours later. Florida is seeing fewer manatee starvation deaths after a feeding program comes to a close. According to the Associated Press, efforts to feed thousands of pounds of lettuce to starving manatees officially ended for the winter season Wednesday. Wildlife officials have counted 163 deaths this season compared to 1,100 manatee deaths in 2021. They attribute this slowdown to various factors, including the partial recovery of seagrass beds in key winter areas. Subscribe to The Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org to subscribe and view the most recent issues. I'm Julia Cooper, and you've been listening to The Point from WUFT News out of the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications. Have a great Thursday.